Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Before Chris brings the lesson to us this morning, our scripture reading will be from 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Good morning. So glad to be here with you this morning, and know that our group is over in Peru working hard this week, and Andrew's there with them, and so thankful for that and for that opportunity that they have, and would ask that you continue to pray for them as they do a lot of work there this week. And we have several of our youth who are there with them as well. And so a lot of good things going on in Peru. I'm excited to get to share a lesson with you this morning. It's been a rough week, as you can tell by the way that I'm talking. I've kind of been fighting off some things this week and just to arrive here and to be here. And I passed that on to my children this week, apparently, and so my wife is taking care of them this morning, and I would just ask that you keep them in your prayer as well. We've had a really crazy, busy summer, as seems to always happen in the youth program. And along the way this summer, as it always does, it seems that we go up on a roller coaster ride, and I get to experience a lot of mountaintops as well as many valleys. And one of the mountaintops for me this summer was getting to be at church camp, and one of the topics that we got to talk about this year was on love. And it was neat to go throughout that week and to get to focus on love and how important love is in our lives. And one of the lessons that I shared there is something I want to share with you this morning, just because I think that it's something that's the implications of it are huge in our lives. And that is this concept that we have of falling in and out of love. And it's something that I'm sure we've thought about just in our physical relationships that we have around us. But have you ever thought about the concept of us falling in and out of love with God? And I think, too, as I've already said, how sometimes we feel like we're on a roller coaster, that our relationship with God can sort of feel that way as well. Love is a word that I think we use nearly every day. We tell our spouses that we love them, I hope. We tell our children that we love them. Some of us may tell our friends that we love them. We may use phrases like we love our house, we love our cars, we love pizza. Love seems to be one of the most overused words that I think that we have in the English language today. But it's an awesome word, and I think because we overuse it, sometimes it loses its full meaning. Everyone at some point in their lives, I would say, has longed to fall in love. Most ladies have longed to meet their Prince Charming. Most men have longed to find the lady whose foot would fit in the glass slipper, because love is a special thing and we long to fall in love. The question that I want us to look at this morning, though, is just quite simple, and that is, can we fall in love? Is there a such thing as falling in love? Because if you think about the word fall, that in itself is something that kind of happened accidental, right? Everybody has fallen at some point in their lives. I don't know that I've ever fallen on purpose. Falling is something that's kind of an accident. So do we fall in love? And after we look at that, I want us to kind of think about the second part of that is do we fall out of love? And what does that look like? Because falling out of love is something that's kind of a scary thought. Can we fall out of love, not just with our physical relationships, but can we fall out of love with our God? I think that the answers to these questions have huge implications, not just in our physical relationships, but more importantly in the relationship that we have with God. And this morning as we walk through this, I hope and pray that you'll open your hearts and your minds and really think about the definition of love that you have in your life and see how that plays out, not just in your physical relationships, but especially in your spiritual relationship. What is your definition of love? That's where I want us to start this morning. I think before we can move any further and tackle this, we really have to stop and think about the most simplistic question, that is, what is love? I can't help but every time I ask that question to go back and think about Forrest Gump. I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. And I have to stop, do we know what love is? Do we really know what love is and how love works in our lives and how we fall in love and can we fall out of love and things of that nature? And most of us have felt love. We've all had a crush. You know, if you want to go back and you may be there right now as being in high school and having that crush and thinking that, you know, I'm in love. And we get that feeling in the pit of our stomachs, that sick feeling. I remember I used to get the same feeling before football games and things like that. You know, my dad would call them butterflies. And you know, when you talk to that person or when you go on that date or when you're around them, you sort of get that sick feeling. I don't know if you've seen the movie Frozen yet, but there's a line in this movie that I love and it describes this perfectly. And it's where Princess Anna, and she's really excited because they're opening the gates of the castle for the first time in a long time. And she's out and she's singing this song and she says that I'm elated. She says I'm excited. And I don't know if it's because I'm just elated or gassy or somewhere in between. You know, I think that's like a perfect way to describe that. You know, a lot of us think that that's love, that feeling. We don't know what it is, but it must be love. I think about one of the quotes that a preacher friend of mine, Mr. Jerry Barber. Most of you guys know Jerry Barber. He has a quote where he talks about love, and I think it's just so profound. He says, love is not a feeling that you feel when you feel something that you've never felt before. All right, I'll say that again. Love is not a feeling that you feel when you feel something that you've never felt before. And every time I hear that, I think about how profound that is. And especially, maybe as a teenager, how confusing that can be as we start to feel feelings for others that we've never felt before and we confuse that. Well, that must be love. So I think it's important for us to think about what is love. It's more than a feeling. You know, I told the story last year when I had the opportunity to preach about my parents' divorce. And it's interesting to me that at 10 years old, I remember the process, and I don't really, like, I don't remember them ever fighting. I don't remember ever seeing warning signs. I don't remember anything ever leading up to that other than just the fact that we left. And I remember asking my mom on that car ride, why is it that they were divorcing? And her answer has stuck with me for a lot of years. She said, I just don't love your dad anymore. And it's always baffled me that after 11 years of being in love with someone, how do you wake up one day and decide that I've fallen out of love? I think that could come back to our definition of love, of understanding what love is. So I think it boils down to us really taking a good look and trying to discover what biblical love is. I think the Bible teaches that love is more than just a feeling. Rather, love is a choice. It's a choice that we make. If we base it just upon a feeling, then we don't know if it's always going to be there. But rather, love is a choice. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul says that, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, he didn't base it upon a feeling, but yet it was a choice that he made to die for us because of his love for us. Our philosophy of love, I think, is often that we can love those who love us. It's easy to love people when they love us back. But again, I think this goes against the biblical definition of love. If you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. This is what Jack read just a little bit earlier, but I want to go a little further at this time. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son to the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. See, that one line in there I think is so profound. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. See, God's love has never been based upon how we feel about Him. He loves us unconditionally. He chooses to love us, not based upon how we treat Him or if we love Him back or whatever our feelings may be in that nature. It's a choice that He makes to love us every day. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a chapter you really can't leave out if you talk about love. There's a few things I just want to point out in this chapter. In verse 4, the Bible tells us that love is patient, it's kind, it's not self-seeking. Now think about this for a moment. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times where I don't feel like being very patient. There's a lot of times where I don't feel like being very kind. But yet true love makes the choice to do that anyways, regardless of how we may feel at that time. I mean, really, if you think about it, if our definition of love is based solely upon how someone makes us feel, and that's sort of self-seeking to begin with, isn't it? Love cannot be based upon simply our feelings. And I think verse 8 here is the most profound, because when we love God's way, I think what Paul writes comes very true, and that is that love never ends. Love never ends. I think that's so powerful for us to think about. And if I'm being honest, if my definition of love in my life with my spouse has been based upon a feeling, then I would have to tell you that we've probably fallen in and out of love many a times in our marriage. Love is a choice. And that's the thing that I really want us to get in our minds as we enter into this morning, that love is a choice. As I was preparing for this lesson a while back, I came across this survey that was done on eHarmony.com. And most of us know about eHarmony.com. This is supposed to be the foremost website for dating, the website to find your spouse, eHarmony.com. It's supposed to be one of the most popular ones out there. And they had done this survey that I just found so interesting because they had polled men and women and basically asked them what the reasons were that they had fallen out of love. In the survey, they come up with the top five reasons that people fall out of love. Now, here's what I find profound about this. As I read through the list, all these reasons seem to be things that were linked to things that I've heard people say over the years about why they've struggled to have this love relationship with God. You know, very similar. I thought that's interesting that we fall out of love for these physical reasons, but yet we also, those things apply to our spiritual lives as well. And so this morning, if you would, I just want to go through this list of these five things that people have given of why they fall out of love and see if we can connect some dots to how this applies to our spiritual lives. My hope is that we go through this list, you might identify with some of these. You might be able to identify with some of these, and perhaps it'll help us all not to continue on this roller coaster relationship of being in and out of love, but yet strive to find the one thing that I think we all struggle with at times, and that is to have a consistent relationship with God. And I think it's okay for us to be on the mountaintops, but we have to be careful to dive too deep into the valleys and to pull too far away. I think what we're all really seeking is to strive to have this consistent relationship with our God. And so keep that in mind as we go through these this morning. Reason number one that people say that they have fallen out of love is that the honeymoon is over. All right, so many of you may understand this, and you maybe have experienced this, that the honeymoon is over. When you get married, everything seems to be perfect. Everything seems to be great. You go off on the honeymoon, and you're super excited about everything. I want to tell you about my honeymoon. My wife and I got married, and we went on a cruise. And I've never been on a cruise before, and so obviously we're newlyweds, and so we're excited and we're happy. And I'll never forget that first morning. There's a lot of things you don't think about before you get married. The first morning, we're in this nice room, and we've got this huge bed, and I remember waking up. Now, let me tell you something about myself. I'm a morning person. I like to get up early in the morning. My wife is not. This first morning, I remember that the little window there in the room on the boat, the sun had come through. It was about 6 o'clock, and I remember waking up, And I leaned over, and she was there, and she just looked so beautiful, and she was sleeping. And I remember I leaned in, and I kissed her on the cheek, and I pulled the hair away from her face, and I just smiled, and I said, "Good morning, wife." And I'll never forget that she just barely opened her eyes, and she looked over at me, and she said, "Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. turn over, and shut up. And I just remember thinking to myself, what have I done? I mean, seriously, like, what is going on here? And the reality set in that, wow, we never really had this discussion, that she's not a morning person. It's hard sometimes to realize that the honeymoon period is over. And that some of the excitement that we feel at the beginning can wear off. But I think it's a reality that we have to think about, that it can. In Matthew chapter 8, we read the story of where Jesus and his disciples are on the boat and the storm comes. And, you know, these guys have just started following Jesus. They're so early in this ministry, and they're all excited. They're watching him perform all these miracles, and all these awesome things are happening. And it's like they're still in the honeymoon phase. When they're riding how awesome everything is. And then Jesus goes down below, and he decides to take a nap. And we know that the storm comes, and it tosses the boat around. They run down, and they're so afraid. And it's almost like they realized that the honeymoon period was over. And Jesus had told them that it was going to be difficult, but this was one of the first times they realized, okay, wow, this is scary. And to the point where Jesus asked them, you know, what happened to your faith? Where's your faith? You know, the honeymoon period can end. And a lot of times when we hit these roadblocks, I think it's scary. If you think back to the day that you were baptized, I don't know about you, but that was one of the most exciting days of my life. And I remember going home after I'd been baptized and sitting down and studying my Bible that night. And I remember night after night for that first week how devoted I was to Bible study and to prayer, and how it didn't take long for that feeling to sort of wear off, and it became easier and easier to sort of slip out of some of those habits that I needed in my life. The honeymoon period can wear off, and at that point I think it's easy for us to start falling out of love with God. Giving our lives to Christ isn't about the feeling of excitement. It's about making the choice to love Him each and every day and knowing that we have the privilege and opportunity to do so. Reason number two that people say they fall out of love is that they stop feeling adored. Now, I think it's interesting going back to the newlywed thing. If you ever talk to newlyweds, it's interesting when you ask them about their spouse that 9 times out of 10, they tell you how awesome their spouses are and they brag on them and they say all these good qualities. I'll never forget when I was younger going to my grandparents' house. They'd been married forever. They never really bragged on each other. They instead would talk about how much the other one snores, about how they would like leave their dishes out, you know, and it was just so funny to listen to them. And sometimes if you step back, you get the impression that that maybe some of the adoration has sort of slipped back a little bit. You know, over time, it's easier to see negative qualities in people than it is to see great qualities in people sometimes. And so, I think sometimes we struggle to feel adored. You ever stop and wondered if God adores you? I think it's an interesting question. Have you ever thought about the fact, does God adore me? I think about what he told the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, where God says, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb that I knew you. You know, I love that picture, that intimate picture of how much He adores us. I think about in John chapter 10 and verse 15 where Jesus talks about how He knows His sheep and that He will lay down His life for His sheep. You know, that entire chapter in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about how much He adores us. I think it's something good for us to think about sometimes. Something good for us to open our eyes and realize how much our God adores us. And He doesn't just adore us, but yet He shows us that through His sacrifice and through all the things that He's given us and all the blessings that we have in our lives. And I think that's worth thinking about. The third reason that people say that they fall out of love is because the person that they've married has changed. I remember going through premarital counseling, and in that process we were asked two very profound questions, at least for me at that time I thought were very profound. The first one was simply this. He said, will you still love Erin if she never changes? And the second was kind of like that. He said, will you still love Erin if she does change? And I never really thought about that before. But as I was working through that, I thought, well, if she doesn't change, that's a little easier for me to think about because I know who she is. I know what I'm getting. I thought I knew what I was getting. And you go through that. She's not here this morning, so I can be a little freer. It's going to be on TV, though, isn't it? But also, the second part of that was even harder for me to think about because what if she does change? Well, what's the change going to be? What's she going to be like? It's hard to hit a moving target. And I don't understand how can I know how I'm going to feel if she changes. And here's the fact that most of us in this room, you guys probably discovered it a lot sooner than I did, but that is that people change. You know, people change. I was thinking earlier just about all the ways that I've changed since we've gotten married. And I thought, I've changed my job. I've changed, we've changed where we live. But even more personal than that, I thought, I've changed my hobbies. My weight has fluctuated by like 60 pounds up and down since we've been married. I've had more hair and I've had lesser hair during times, and we can relate with that. People change. How do we know how we're going to feel when people change? I think it's hard for us to think about. It's hard for us to realize because they're difficult questions. For some reason, though, it's interesting to realize that even though we may change sometimes, we still can make the choice to love that person. Through all the changes that I've experienced in my life, I've been blessed that my wife still chooses to love me. But here's the profound thing about our God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says that God does not change. God does not change. In James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." I think our God is easy to love because He doesn't change. When we decide to give our lives to Him, we don't have to sit back and go, "Well, what if God changes?" Because we know He's not going to. When we enter into this relationship with Him, we know what we're getting into. We know what He wants from us. Because our God does not change. The fourth reason that people give for falling out of love is that my spouse is a poor communicator. Now, if ever there was something that I'm guilty of, this is the one. Thinking about communication with my wife. I was just thinking the other day, there are times where I've forgotten to pick our kids up from school. There was one day I forgot to take our kids to school. There's been times where we've nearly left our children at church. There's been times where I've wanted to leave them at church. Communication is a difficult thing. Our lives get busy, and sometimes it's hard for us to communicate and to tell the other person what they need to know so that we can make sure that we take care of all the things that we need to take care of. And a lot of times it stresses marriages. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read this. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." You know, I think about, because of the Bible, is God not the ultimate communicator? You know, He's breathed out His Word into this book for us, and He's told us everything that we need to know. He's given us all the communication that we could possibly ever need. And again, when we enter into this relationship with Him, we don't have to wonder what His expectations are. We don't have to wonder what it means to be obedient, because He's already communicated it all. He's laid it out in the Bible. God is the ultimate communicator. In the last one, number five, the fifth reason that people fall out of love is because they experience a loss of independence. Experience a loss of independence. I may have shared this with you at some point already, but when Aaron and I got married, immediately we were in Centerville and we were very poor and we had nowhere to live. And so Bill McDonald was kind enough to offer us an apartment. And we agreed to it, and then we found out that it was on top of McDonald Funeral Home. And so for the first year and a half of our marriage, we lived on top of McDonald Funeral Home. You haven't lived until you've lived on top of a funeral home, no pun intended. We stayed on this funeral home, and it was a very small apartment. And it did not take us very long to realize when we first moved in that we really couldn't like hide from each other. We couldn't get away from each other. There was zero privacy. And no matter where you went, there the other person was. And very quickly you start to realize that you're not a single independent person anymore. And now you have someone else you have to think about, someone else you need to consider. And so I understand the loss of independence. That scares people. And a lot of times I think it runs people off, and it's one of the reasons they give that they fall out of love. Matthew chapter 19. Read the story of the rich young ruler. Flip your Bibles open there with me if you would. Matthew 19. Look at verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, this is a hard passage for us to wrap our minds around sometimes. It's this thought that we want our independence. We want to make our own decisions and things of that nature. But yet sometimes teachings are hard. Sometimes things are difficult. But here's what I want you to get from this. The thing that I think is most profound. Jesus loves this man enough to tell him what he must do to inherit eternal life. But yet he loves him so much that he allows him to walk away. See, if you think about it, could he not just force us to worship him? Could we not just be forced to bow down? But that's not love. Love gives us the choice. Love gives us the option. And Jesus loves us enough to let us walk away if we so choose to do that. To me, I think that's it's one of the greatest outpourings of love that we see in the Bible, is that He lets us make up our own minds about which way we'll go. Now, I went through all these reasons, and I guess I've done that really just to make one point that I want to give you, and that is that God is easy to love. Our God is easy to love. Because when you think about the things that make our earthly relationships so difficult, God has mastered all of these. He doesn't need to work on any of them because God is easy to love. But the truth is, sometimes God's love is uncomfortable. Sometimes His love is uncomfortable. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, Jesus says that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. In Luke 14:26, Jesus tells us to hate our father, our mother, our brothers, our sisters, even our own selves if we want to follow Him. And sometimes His love is uncomfortable. Sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it. Sometimes we're confused by His love because we hurt. And I'll be the first to admit that when we go through difficult things in life, it's hard to understand God's love. It's confusing. It's hard to know why God would let us go through difficult times. It's hard to know why God would sit back and see that we struggle and that we have difficulties. Sometimes His love can be confusing. So the reality is this. Love is a choice. We have to choose to love God each and every day of our lives. It's a choice that we have to make. The same way that we choose to get up and love our spouses every day, our friends, our children, we have to make the choice over and over and over each and every day that we're allowed to be upon this earth. So as we close this morning, I just want to leave you with five practical things. And they're very simple. My mind works in a very simple manner. But there are five practical things that I want to give you this morning to hopefully help you to maintain on a consistent basis that love relationship with God, and so that you are constantly drawing near to Him instead of further away. And so very quickly, here are the five things. Read God's Word every day. Don't let a day pass by without reading your Bible. It's the most profound thing I think that we can do as Christians is to be in Bible study on a regular basis. Number two, pray every day about whatever is on your mind. You know, how do we have a relationship with people when we don't talk to them? I think prayer is something that we need to have in our lives every day. Number three, and to me this maybe is one of the most important ones, worship God on a regular basis. I know today it seems that it's really easy to think about, well, our lives are busy, so I'm going to skip worship. Maybe I don't need to be there on Sunday night. Maybe Wednesday nights aren't all that important. And we just sort of get in this routine of maybe where worship's not a big part of our lives. If we want to love God and be in a love relationship with Him, we need to worship Him. And we need to be here every chance that we can, bowing down before His throne, worshiping Him. Number four, and this is the one to me that's probably made the biggest impact in my life, and that is, talk to someone on a regular basis about Jesus, about your spiritual life, and about spiritual things. You know, one of the greatest blessings for me coming here to Graymere are the guys that I get to work with every day. You know, Andrew and John and I, we don't invite Wendell and Jack very much because there's a little bit of an age variance. But we go and eat breakfast and have lunch sometimes. I'm kidding, but really we don't. John and Andrew and I, we go have breakfast and have lunch sometimes and hang out. And Jack and Wendell, we have our meetings. And what's so cool about that is we get to sit and talk about our spiritual lives. We get to talk about our struggles. And for me, that's one of the biggest blessings that I've had in my life to being closer to Christ. And number five is this. Realize that love takes sacrifice. Love is not about take, but it's about give. And what can you give? What can you give to love God each and every day? Going back to the movie Frozen, I hope you've seen it. It really won't make any sense. But in the movie, there's a little snowman guy. His name's Olaf. And I love Olaf. And in the last scene, Princess Anna, she's hurting really badly, and he builds a fire for her. We know what happens to snowmen when they get near a fire. He's sitting over there, and he's explaining to her what love is. And he said, love is about putting others before yourself. And as he's telling her this, he starts to melt, and she says, but, you know, get away from the fire, you're melting. And he just smiles, and he says, some people are worth melting for. And I've always thought that's really profound. You know, our God is worth melting for. Worth worshiping, worth loving, worth giving our lives to each and every day. If you haven't fallen in love with our God yet, then I want to encourage you to do that this morning. If you've fallen in love with God and you feel like you've fallen in and out of love and you've been on this roller coaster of emotions, then my prayer is that you'll come home this morning, rededicate your life to Him, and strive to have a consistent love relationship with our God because He adores you and He loves you and He wants nothing more than for you to come home. If there's anything we can do to help you this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing to encourage one another.